This is Renegade Broadcasting.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Graham Hart Show here on Renegade Broadcasting. I hope you had a good week. Mine started really well. Dennis has not arrived. I've tried to call him, and I'm getting no answer, and he's offline. So, there you go. It's all good fun on radio, folks, and I love it live, don't you? While I'm waiting for Dennis to arrive, and hopefully he will do, I'd like to just drop back to the comments, folks, on a couple of weeks back when I had Sinead McCarthy on. Just a quick one. There was some interesting comments posted afterwards on the comments on the podcast. And one of them was about Bill Hicks. I'm trying to find it now, and I've just gone past it, I think. Yeah. A lot of people are thinking that Bill Hicks could be Alex Jones. And for someone like myself, who's a really big fan of Bill Hicks, I find that laughable. Absolutely laughable. He would probably be more like Charles Giuliani, I think, than Alex Jones. I've studied his work, folks. If you want to know anything about Bill Hicks, I'm your man. I throw lines at you sometimes. You don't even know I'm saying them. But a lot of little one-liners I might throw in would be from Bill Hicks's work. He was an absolute genius. He died at the age of 32 with pancreatic cancer. And people question that, whether that was real or whether that was just something that was set up that he was taken out. Excuse me, I'm still scrolling as I'm talking here. Where are you? Yeah, this is one from TN Rebel. I think that's probably the post that I like the best. Oh my God, I can't believe this ridiculous bullshit keeps popping up. Alex Jones is a lot of things, but he ain't Bill Hicks. Hicks would be spinning in his grave if he knew people were comparing him to Jones. Number one, Hicks was obviously dying of pancreatic cancer in the early 90s when Jones was still a teenager. Hicks is 13 years older. Number two, Jones is 5'10" and Hicks was 6'1". Look at the video of some of Hicks's last stand-up and he's bloated and obviously sick. Well, you know, it depends where you're looking at there, TN Rebel. If you look at his latest, his last work, he actually came off stage and said, to his manager, Laurie, I can't do this anymore. And he was extremely thin. And, excuse me. And he basically went back to his family home and died. While Jones is in the late '90s, is young and virile and athletically fit. You wouldn't say that about, Bill Hicks. I'm not sure if that's coming from, Hicks was never the athlete or the fighter in a physical way. Well, actually, TN, he was, a hell of a baseball player at school and a hell of a good runner. He was exceptional at sport. So, you know, you hear so many different stories. The personalities are totally different, I'll say. And Alex is a total whore for money and the Jews. Hicks was an intellectual rebel, paid for it and paid for it financially. Absolutely. He never took off in America, folks. A lot of you people know of George Carlin, and you were aware of George Carlin's work. Well, George Carlin was probably nationally known right across the USA, because he was, when he started out his career, he was doing stuff that was passable on mainstream. And it wasn't until Bill Hicks came along that he sort of upped his game. And I believe that George Carlin would not be the big name he ended up being if it wasn't for the work of Bill Hicks. He was fortunate that when he crossed over into the more Hicks-type comedy, the more challenging pieces that he did, that he wouldn't have done that without the work of Bill Hicks. Hicks never made TV. He never appeared on any national TV. He did do the Letterman show 12 times, but apart from that, he never got any sort of coverage at all on any big show, because he wouldn't sell out. He would never sell out. And he was huge in this country. In the UK, he was absolute cult figure here. We absolutely adored him. So, if anyone think Bill Hicks is the wrong man, and also, if you were thinking about, that he died of cancer and that, this was probably, he was probably taken down, by the forces that be. When he was, I think it was 10 years before that, he was tripping on mushrooms, with his friend Kevin Booth. And I've read the book, and I've read all Bill Hicks books actually. When he was tripping on mushrooms with Kevin Booth, he actually saw something wrong. So this was 10 years before. He said, something ain't right there, man. Something ain't right. I can see something that shouldn't be there. So he knew that something was wrong. And I do genuinely believe that he died of cancer, pancreatic cancer. But for him, people to say that it was Alex Jones, that's an... It's just crazy, folks. This man was an absolute genius, and was very influential on me. I must say, some of the work he did about his material on smoking pot was and smoking it as well, just fantastic sketches. People are saying, it seems to be saying that, you know, you don't really need to go and look at this guy. Well, actually, I think he's the greatest work you've not discovered. If you want a good laugh, and this guy could kick, and he could kick hard. Yep, John Smith. Hicks supposedly hated advertisers. He did indeed. Jones is an advertising bitch from the waters, from water filters to super transsexual vitality. Hicks was an effeminate leftist. Hardly. No, he wasn't an effeminate leftist. He was, he called himself a pussyholic. Will that do, folks? So anyone who's getting ideas that Hicks was anything but true to himself, and true to his word, this man wouldn't give an inch to anyone. He would not change his shows. And if that meant work in the backwaters of America, well, so be it. He was not going to change his ways. And consequently, he didn't become big in America, but where in the UK, he got a few breaks over here, and he was an absolute legend. And I just think he's one of the greatest comedians of all time. So with saying that, I will try Dennis again. I don't know where he's gone. It's unlike Dennis. He's usually spot on. But it don't look I'm going to get nothing. is those Charles Giuliani moments again, folks. Do you ever listen to Charlie and you think you've gone offline? I love Charles. I love his show. I got to get a dose of Charles Giuliani every day. He's so funny and so informative. Absolute brilliant presenter. Nope. Still nothing from Dennis. Okay. Where does one go from here? If I talk about Palestine, it seems I might upset a few people here. But that's okay. I can do that. I wanted to go back to what Sean was saying. Sean, I have absolutely total respect for you, my friend. As far as the fighting for the white race, I support that 100%. I can see what's going on. We're down to 8% now. 8% white. In 1950, we were, if I recall, 27% of the population of the planet. Now we are down to 8%, which was interesting because I found an article. I went to have a look around at this, and I found an article in 2003 from The Guardian or The Telegraph, one of those two, which stated that the white race would be 10% by the year 2020. So here we are in 2016, and it's down to 8%. So there is a serious problem. There's no question about that, and I support that work as much as I possibly can. And I let people know as much as I possibly can about the white race, that we are in big trouble. Because one thing's for sure, folks, you can't add anything to white and make it whiter. And that's the problem. We are special. We are very special. As I got respect for all races, but, you know, you can mix them down and you're still going to get a color. Whereas the white race is completely white, and we can't mix nothing to make it whiter, unfortunately. So you can see 2 million swinging into Germany, 2 million blacks sweeping into Germany over the last year. You can see it all across Europe. It was in this country since 1952 when they came in after the war because we were short of labor. Yeah, bullshit. And they came and done all the menial tasks, working on the undergrounds and the buses, etc. They were treated terribly by the people in London. But, you know, what do you want to do? The people of England were deciding that, excuse me, you know, but you're changing our culture and heritage. But they were doing it in sort of way, well, we don't like you, but they still kept coming. And so has continued. So I support that 100%, that we need to get behind that idea and make people aware that the white race is definitely in trouble. And I'm with you 100% on that, Sean. I say Sean because Sean is very, very strong on this. And we need people in different areas to be pushing different things. And that's good. Everyone's pushing a different agenda. Everyone's got a different perspective. And those different perspectives make us to go wherever we want to go. I can't speak for Sean in Australia. I cannot give my perspective from Sinead in the US. When she told me that you can't walk anywhere without taking a gun, folks, how the hell can I relate to that? In Little Cornwall, very rural, population 550,000, and you've got to walk everywhere with a gun. I mean, I can't even comprehend that. And I spoke with Sean off air, and he told me some of the stories that you've had problems with Muslims and the indigenous people of Australia. And I can't relate to that either. They're horrific. So I can understand where he's coming from, and I understand where Sinead's coming from. But at the end of the day, we can only come from our own perspective. And my perspective is in Cornwall. And what I've learned about Cornwall, I probably missed the first, I missed 10 years of the truth movement because around 2001, I started to study Cornwall. If you're brought up in the UK, folks, under a English curriculum, then you produce English people. And Cornwall is considered a county of England, whereas we are a country. So, you know, the loss of our language and everything like that, and all the history about the great work that went on here in the Industrial Revolution. Actually, the Industrial Revolution started in Cornwall. But I can only give it from my perspective, from where I am. And 10 years ago, or back in 2001, is when I started to discover that Cornwall is not a county, but a country. So I spent 10 years fighting the system. Will you please accept us as a country, basically? And that's the way it went for 10 years. And then I thought, well, you know what? Screw this. We're getting nowhere. You know, you're not going to defeat this system. So I sort of quit it and found myself starting to watch movies like Zeitgeist and Thrive. And I seen Rick Simpson's film, Run from the Cure, those sort of films. And I thought, you know, we're not being told everything here. And then, of course, you go off then on this big route of being a truther, looking at the that everything is a corporation, that everything we deal with is a corporation. But I can only give the perspective that I give from where I am. And what's going on, Sinead said to me, Cornwall is all white, which we are. We're pretty much white. There's a few odd around, black brothers and sisters, and I got no problem with that at all. It doesn't make any difference to me because you can't stop it. It's the mass immigration that we need to be concentrating on. But I've been living in this white country, and Sinead said, well, it sounds like heaven. Well, everything's relative, isn't it? It's not heaven at all. I mean, our culture is being kicked the shit out of by the English. And, you know, the English establishment, nothing wrong with the people. They come down here. People move from everywhere. I mean, the indigenous people of Australia, they were raped, weren't they, by the white man? So the white man's not perfect either. That's my problem. I just had a flash of that Dennis might be back on, but he's not here yet. I was looking at the things the other day and I thought, well, you know, we've got a lot of things against black people, especially the immigration. And there's hell up about the Muslims. And, of course, it's all down to our friends, the tribe. The Jews are at the bottom of everything. And that pisses me off as well that, to be honest, folks, I get more and more pissed off every day at what I find out about the Jews. It just gets worse and worse and worse. And I have to say, the more I find out, the more I hate you, and the more I spread the word. But I can only come from my perspective, as we all can. I cannot relate to what Sean and what Sinead are saying and where they live. I just cannot relate to that. And I was brought up to find out about these problems through law, watching John Harris's film, It's an Illusion, when you work it, that is all down to the birth certificate. That's how they get you into the system. And then you find out that everyone thing is a company and they're all corporations and you don't have no contract with that corporation. So really you can tell them where to get off, but you got to know what you're doing. And it takes quite a while to study it. It was interesting talking to Vin last week, actually, and hearing, going back and listening to some of those Admiralty words again. They're amazing. They really do blow me away. They blew me away at the time, the different words that you got there. Register. Excuse me for jumping around, folks, but I didn't really expect to be sitting here talking to you on my own. Legalese. But this is where it all started for me, is learning these words. When you break them down, register, to hand over legal title. When you submit a form, you're bending to another's will. But we think of it as just submit the form, think nothing of it. Terms and conditions, yes, sign that. And we never, ever read them. And they're in small print. Of course, they're in small print for a reason. So you can't read them. And nobody wants to. When you apply, an application equals beg. When you apply for anything, you are begging. all these words that are used there. And people say that there's legalese within the English language. Well, I think the whole language is bloody legalese the more you look at it. Driver. Well, you're not driving. The phrase driver comes from driving cattle. To carry goods is traffic, is to carry goods. You're trafficking. And it's the most one you hear all the time, especially from the police people, our friends in blue, to understand. That means when he says to you, do you understand? He really means, do you stand under my authority? And of course, we always say yes. Ah, bloody hell. Spell. I love spell. Every time you speak, you cast a spell. Quite amazing, isn't it? You don't realize. Just think about when you say something nasty to someone and that person feels bad, or someone says something nasty to you and you feel bad. You're feeling bad because they've cast a spell on you. And again, when you go into a court, you go through the entrance. You're going through the entrance to be literally entranced. And everything relates to the sea. You're in the dock. Birth. The birth of a ship when it comes to port. Of course, the birth certificate. Rightful. Stands for right. R-I-T-E. They're all rights. Policy men. Policemen. A proclamation is an announcement. And a vessel is your body. That's very interesting to me because Charles was saying, I think, is there anything that happens after this life? I wonder. Well, I certainly believe there is, and we are a soul. I must recommend you a video as well called My Stroke of Insight. If you think there isn't life after death, go and look at a little short video by Jill Bolte Taylor called My Stroke of Insight. This genius lady is a brain neurologist, and she had a stroke, so she could see the stroke from the inside and analyze it. And it's a remarkable film. If you don't do nothing else for the week, I think I would recommend you go and see My Stroke of Insight by Jill Bolte Taylor. It's quite astonishing. I'm still checking. Going to try Dennis again, folks. It's most unlike Dennis. Nope, he must have nodded off. I'm looking in the chat room just to see what's going on here. Where is the Pope? Yeah, indeed. It's a pity I didn't have someone I could, if Bryza was around, we could have a little chat. Okay. Well, I suppose the big thing that's come to mind is the Jew question. I know it's crept up on me. I really didn't, know nothing. They were there all the time. And then, boom, you go, oh my Christ, it's the Jew. And it's the Jew that does everything, isn't it? I'm just relaxing and taking my time. Blue Ocean waves at Graham. Hi, I wave back, Blue Ocean. This is fun. I'm still trying to ring Dennis. It'll probably cut out in a minute. Yeah, I would have been a little bit more prepared, folks, if I knew Dennis. I just didn't expect Dennis to do this. The shit. Great guy. He was here tonight, or going to be here tonight, if he's not going to turn up tonight. He was here to talk about communism by the back door. This is the follow-up series to Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. That film just blew me away. It's the, you know, I would say it's probably the most important film I'd ever seen, that and Hellstorm, of course. But Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, was the first program about the war that I'd ever seen. If you've been brought up a war baby, it's one hell of a shock, folks. It really is. And that's another thing as well. A lot of the guys here, a lot of young people working on Renegade. And when you're coming from 64, you've sort of been here. I've been here like twice as long as Kyle. And I've had a lot of shit to deal with, because the longer you're here, the more angry you get when you find out the truth. It's not a lot of fun. So it's been, yes, Dennis Wise, George. Yeah, he's let me down, my friend. I don't know why. But as I said, very unlike Dennis, the shit. But where was I? Completely threw me. So I think what I'll do, folks, is probably talk about Palestine, because that is important to me. To a lot of you listeners here, I know the saving of the white race is your centerpiece. That's your main thrust of fight in this movement, in this truth movement. It's not for me. It's just one thing. I just want world peace, and I want these fucking Jews out of it. They have to go. What's going on in Palestine is just horrific. And I see, well, Palestine is not that important, really. You don't think it's important? Who's right next door? The country that runs the world is next door. So I think it's very important. But what I came to discover about Palestine by looking back through, it's just, and I see these pictures every day. I watched it yesterday. A father of three is just being killed because he's gone to a knife attack, a patrol. Well, one person is going to attack these Israeli guards fully armed, and he goes with one knife, and that was an attempted attack, knife attack. So they kill him, the father of three young children. That is, send them to Madagascar. Yeah, why not? What's there? What's at Madagascar? I just get so sick and fed up of seeing it. The evil is just unbelievable. And, there's so many, there's so much disinformation coming out now on the web as well. I've seen a program, which was something I wanted to discuss with Dennis, a program, saying that Hitler went to Argentina. And this is bullshit, in my opinion. If you look into it, there's no way. I think the man who actually set his body on fire was called Otto Grunch, who was interviewed by David Irving. So this and then they showed some document with it as well that you could hardly read, of 192 pages. And you know, it's pretty unreadable, and it's all hearsay. There's nothing of any substance in it at all. Fuck the SNP. Yeah, fuck the SNP. I'll go with that. Yeah, fuck this communist Scottish. Well, we live in a we are communists, aren't we? I mean, the whole world is communist. We're all communists. We do live in a communist society, which is what Dennis's new series, Communism by the Back Door, is all about. And now we're coming to a break, so I'll try and get Dennis back and see if we can sort something out. Folks, if not, I'll walk on for a while.
Renegade Broadcasting was founded in 2012, ladies and gentlemen. Since that time, Cole Hunt of the Solar Storm has been authoring the Renegade Broadcasting website, producing, directing, and is now running the Renegade Tribune alongside other projects that present to you all of this free content. Free for you, but not free for him. When your life is busy and you don't know how you can help Kyle by contributing in some way, Kyle can always use a bit of a financial scratch on the back to help out with costs. So please, be generous and donate whatever you can, wherever you can. You can go to renegadebroadcasting.com and click on Kyle's face. This will take you to a donate button. Every little bit helps.
Alrighty, happy Monday. Oh, Charlie. What information. What an entertainer. That guy is so funny. I can't say it enough. Well, I don't seem like I'm going to get Dennis unless Dennis is here. No, he's not. So what I'm going to do, folks, I'm going to do read off some notes to you that I've done about Hitler. I think that's where we'll go because it's sort of in line with what I was going to do with Dennis tonight. But I'm just going to go back and look, read over some notes that I did with that I put together over about Adolf Hitler. As I said, the film from Dennis, and he's also got an amazing YouTube channel as well. There's Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, and there's also Communism by the Back Door. But he's also got a very fine YouTube channel. Just go to the search box and type in Dennis Wise, and you'll find some fantastic videos there that he's put together. But Hitler really fascinated me when I think we've been told all this bullshit they've had about him all these years. Like I said, folks, if you're 62 now, and you just discover that this guy is not who you thought he was, and it all came down to a program I've seen, a talk by Max Egan called Deprogramming the Collective. And I posted it many, many times just to say, go to 41 minutes, and you'll learn Max talks there for about 10 minutes. He talks of the Middle East, and then he said about the transfer agreement. And he followed that with, maybe we're not getting the truth about World War II. And from that moment, I started to look into that, to the Middle East and Palestine. And then I started to look at the war, and I found Dennis's film, and it just blew me away. So what did I find out? Well, we know he was an Austrian. The allegedly total evil man was born in Braunau in Austria. And at school, he was top of his class, and he reveled in music and painting. He wanted to be an artist. Now, already I'm having trouble with this whole fucking theory, because what artist wants to kill his own audience? I don't get that. So this is not an evil man I'm seeing here. It's a very passionate man, and some of his paintings have been quite, it's damn good work. And he loved music, he reveled in music, and he reveled in singing in the church choir. But that's how he got through school. He was a very talented young man, certainly not something with evil on the way. But he struggled so much that he just became a wanderer. And he ended up being in a hostel for 3 years in Vienna. Now, really, you can't get any lower than this. This guy is living, you know, just in these sort of bunk beds with loads of other guys. And all he's doing is trying to struggle to make a living, just selling these little paintings and little drawings. And that's how he sort of struggled by. And he was there for 3 years, and then he drifted back into Berlin right as World War I was declared. Now, he joined up, and right away sort of found a camaraderie he'd never found before. He found he had some sort of use in his life. But when people say this man is just evil, I think we need to look at him a little bit more closely and see what he was made of. In World War I, he won the Second Class Iron Cross in 1914. In 1918, he won the First Class Iron Cross, along with the highest honor, the Military Cross. In all, he won 6 medals for bravery. He was a runner. He would run to the front lines with messages. This was an incredibly dangerous job. But he absolutely reveled in it. But probably my favorite part after winning all these medals, his captain, Fritz Weidmann, wouldn't promote him to no more than corporal because, wait for it, he lacked leadership qualities. I mean, you could make this shit up, could you? So we know that he progressed through with the Nationalist Socialist Party to lead Germany, and when this came about, Hitler asked the people to give him 4 years, and there's a lot of misunderstanding about that as well, that Hitler was a dictator. I was always told by my mum, God bless her, who's my favorite historian, sorry, I'm moving things around here, folks. Right. Yeah, he was a dictator. Well, actually, if you go back and look through the records, they were 3 elections. And in those 3 elections, he won. There was the turnout was something like 97%. And I think there was like 500,000 who voted against him. So you could say he was pretty popular. And then throughout his first, from 1933 onwards, when he took power, he turned the country around. He completely turned the country around. So who declared war? This is another thing that fascinates me as someone of my age. I was always told, well, who declared war? Again, it's my mum. Who declared war, mum? Well, they did. I said, well, how did they declare war? Well, they invaded Poland. I said, yeah, but... And I accepted that, but now I say, well, yeah, but who declared war? It was the British that declared war, but it was worded in such that they never had no reply from the note. Right, so that was it, was it? He never had reply from the note, so therefore we're at war with Germany. It was very cleverly disguised to make it seem like Hitler was declaring war on us when nothing could be further from the truth. So in 1933, when Hitler came to power, world Jewry declared war on Germany with sanctions. Mass meetings and marches were organized across the world to achieve it. Things were so bad, and the year before he was elected, 100,000 Germans committed suicide. That's how bad it was. I mean, these people were absolutely on the ground. They were in the dirt. So what Hitler did when he came in, of course, the first thing he did is he removed all powers from the Jews. He changed the money, he removed usury, removed power from all Jews holding power, the bankers included. And then there was the transfer agreement to set up to move Jews to Palestine. And that this is in general history, no one knows nothing about this. I found it quite amazing that they were allowed to transfer all their wealth to Palestine. It had already been set up. It had been set up years before. And I wasn't aware of that. Things were being set up way earlier than that. So from nothing to within 3 years, Hitler created 6 million jobs, built the autobahns, invented the Volkswagen, and gave everyone a car. All made possible because he removed usury. And then we were told that he marched into Austria first. That was his first thing he did. That he was got. He marched into Austria because he wanted to take Austria. But what they didn't tell us, and we know now, that when he went into Austria on the 9th of July in 1938, he did so with a massive vote of 99.7% of approval. But the Germans voted in favor for Austria to join them. That was only 99.55%, so not quite as good there. And it was known as the War of Flowers. And he immediately outlawed humane killing of animals, including the despicable Jewish kosher slaughtering. Christ, folks, have you seen any of that? Have you seen these killings? Dennis did a film debunking Hitler's as an animal lover. The man, this is another thing I noticed in him as well, is this man had compassion in his eyes. If you look at the modern politician, you know, when they got to pick up a baby for the photo shoots, and you know, it's cold. It's cold, folks. But when you see Hitler speaking to the children, speaking to the people, when you see him with animals, he was just, the love poured from him. And he was a genuinely loving man. Easier, I suppose, to see now we know what the Jew is like. As I said, and the more I see the Jew, the more I hate you every fucking day. It just gets worse and worse. So other people are feeling it as well. I'm sure it's getting out there. I thought this would be the year of the outing of the Jew, and it seems to be. There's so much stuff going up on Facebook. I got friends that keep getting banned all the time. So Tommy and Hagen, if you're listening, I'm sure you'll be back, guys. But this kosher slaughtering, I wouldn't let the wife watch it. I said no. In fact, I listened and I read the text through closed fist, looking at the box, because it is horrific, horrific. These are the type of people we're dealing with. How do you just slice an animal's throat and then cut another hole in the side of it and start pulling out his insides while it's still alive? Do I need to say any more? This is just, Jesus Christ, what are we dealing with here? I don't know. I don't know if they're from this planet. I think they schismed their way in here some way. It is horrific. I just can't believe that the way they have no empathy whatsoever. Anyway, the interesting again, that leading up to World War II, Hitler made 22 peace offers in all. 22. The last being 2 days after the evacuation of Dunkirk in 1940. Now, my granddad and 338,225 others were trapped there. So I've got to thank Hitler for saving my grandfather's life. If Hitler went to war, can you imagine how easy it would have been to just a carpet bomb the whole lot and destroy British morale? You know, that would have been it. We would have been finished. And Hitler would have won. And that's something else I've been thinking about a lot lately as well. What would this world be like right now had Hitler won? Jesus Christ. We'd be in the mess that we're in now, would we? Yeah, that the animal thing is pretty bad. That's pretty bad. And Cameron has given Cameron supports kosher killing, by the way. So I suppose it's the same in the U.S. and around the world. They all support it. They probably eat it. These filthy fucking puppets. But there you go. So on the 17th of May, just a few months after being elected, he gave a speech in the German Reichstag stating for the record, Germany will be perfectly ready to disband her entire military and destroy the small amount of arms remaining to her if the neighboring countries will do the same with equal thoroughness. Germany is entirely ready to renounce aggressive weapons of every sort if the armed nations on their part will destroy their aggressive weapons within a specific period. And if their use is forbidden by international convention, Germany is at all times prepared to renounce offensive weapons if the rest of the world does the same. Germany is prepared to agree to any solemn pact of non-aggression because Germany does not think of attacking anybody, but only acquiring national security. Yeah, we got national security now, haven't we? Yeah, look at the state of it. And no answer was received, folks, just like all the others. All the peace offers were turned down. As I recall, Churchill blocked all communication prospects by telling his various... oh, Christ, here we go. Can't remember a simple word again. The various, you know, outlets around the world, the embassies, thank you. All the embassies around the world will tell that if Hitler makes any contact through our embassies to try and seek peace, block him off. I don't want it to get to me. So there you go. Yes, that's another thing that I find quite incredible as well. The smiling faces on the archive film, folks. You know, why are all these kids and people, why are they smiling so much? Which you, Christ, you don't see today, do you? But why were these people smiling? Well, because they've been brainwashed, I was told. They've all been brainwashed. I think it's the other way around. I found that quite amazing. These smiling faces on the films, they weren't fake. You know, they have come from the depths of depression, and he cleaned up the filthy debauchery of Berlin. He lifted the country to being proud again after being, you know, absolutely beaten to the ground after the First World War. And Hitler didn't want this war. He never wanted any war. He said, I held out my hand in friendship to them, but they refused it. They cried, no reconciliation, no understanding, only war. And as I said, Churchill did not accept Hitler's multiple peace offers, which he made for the last time in June 1940 after the fall of France. His only enemies were international statesmen who were either of Jewish origin or working for Jewish interests, which posterity cannot be explained away for all eternity. I'm also told that I've not researched this a lot, folks, that he held referenda on many issues. This would seem similar to Gaddafi. Gaddafi set up mass meeting halls within right across Libya. And I think it was from 1969 that he had a bloodless military coup. And then until 1970, by 1979, he no longer became leader. He passed it all over to the hands of the people and just became a statesman. So why did they go after Gaddafi? Actually, that's looking quite interesting, because I'm hoping by next week or the week after, I've got a lady coming on. I'm not sure who it is. And she's going to tell the talk of the true story of Muammar Gaddafi. That's in the pipeline for weeks to come, by the way. So he held referendum on many issues. But the Jews, 2% of USA. Now, hold on, where am I? The Jews were 2% of the USA. They were also 2% of Germany as well. And Hitler had to clear them out before the economic and lifestyle miracle of the century took place. And it was, I'm just checking down through now, Otto Gunsch burned Hitler and Eva Braun at 3 p.m. on April the 30th, 1940, after using 200 liters of petrol in a small private garden of the Chancellery. Hitler tried to set the bodies alight but couldn't, but Gunther threw a burning rag onto them. Another thing that Dennis has covered in his in Communism by the Back Door, which I've been watching over the last couple of days, I've watched it through all the way, and then I thought, well, let's sit down now and just watch it right through again. And all of these things, ladies and gentlemen, they all need to be watched twice. You're not going to take it in one take. And before I move on, I'm just going to have a quick look at the chat box here. There's a lot of laughing going on. Okay. Oh, Dennis, you're a bad boy. I hope he's okay. Come to think about it. Yeah, we got problems with calling them Jews. We use the word Zionist, that politically correct word Zionist. Hitler never used the word Zionist. He called them what they were, Jews. And another little caveat here, Paula Hitler, Adolf Hitler's sister, was interviewed by Peter Morley, a British journalist, and he recalled, how could such a gentle woman have such an evil brother? Yeah, how indeed. All he ever wanted was to recover the land he'd lost at the Treaty of Versailles, and stated quite clearly that National Socialism is not for export. The reasoning and timing of work camps. Chaim Weizmann, president, oh, that's an interesting name, president of both the International Jewish Agency and of the World Zionist Organization, wrote in an open letter to the London Times on September the 6th, 1939, that I wish to confirm in the most explicit manner the declarations of which me and my colleagues have made during the last month, especially in the last week, that the Jews stand by Great Britain and will fight on the side of the democracies. Our urgent desire is to give effect to these declarations against Germany. We wish to do so in a way entirely consistent with the general scheme of British action, and therefore would place ourselves in matters big and small under the coordinating director's direction of His Majesty's government. The Jewish Agency is ready to enter into immediate arrangements for utilizing Jewish manpower, technical ability, resources, etc. And not all Jews lived in the work camps. Far from it. But they had to be moved in around 1939 because they were now becoming a threat to national security. I loved a picture, actually, that Sinead used in one of her movies, which ended with this big, fat Jewish guy and the phrase underneath, 6 million calories. I love it. Excuse me, a quick cough. The populations I find a bit interesting as well. In and around that time, the population data of the time, 1933, the German population was 66 million. In 1942, at the peak of World War II, it was 72 million. And by 1945, it had gone down to 69 million. So the war is over in 1945, and it's down to 69 million. But by 1948, it's gone down another 2 million, which brings in the Henry Morgenthau plan to wipe out all males in Germany, to wipe the lot off the planet. If they wore any type of uniform, an age between 18 to 80, it was off to places similar to the Rhine Meadow death camps. And this Morgenthau plan, ladies and gentlemen, was signed by Churchill and Roosevelt, or Rosenfeld, as is his original name. Has it ever passed through your mind why Hitler hated the Jews? Yeah, it has, actually. Mainly over the last couple of years, but It's certainly passed through my mind now. But again, not all Jews are bad. I had one on a few weeks ago, didn't I? Gilad Atzmon. And there are many other fine scholars who stand alongside us in our fight against Judaism. And there were 150,000 soldiers that fought with Hitler. And among them were 15 generals, 8 lieutenant generals, and 5 major generals. 20 won the Iron Cross. And also, Hitler's driver was half Jewish. So, you know, that's interesting. How Jewish were they? Were they half Jew, part Jew? Whatever they were, if they were going to fight for Hitler, they must have had empathy and compassion. That's for sure. Because that's what the man was about, empathy and compassion. And that's what the world we live in today is what we're fighting against. There is no empathy or compassion from these people, and they can do what the hell they want. And they continue to do it. And I wonder how much more is going to happen before something gives, because it seems to be up in every week. Every week it seems to get worse. Europe, in this country, the false flags, they just go on and on. And you wonder when people are going to take notice. Yeah, you wonder. And the Olympic Games, when Germany was absolutely thriving, while the rest of the world was in decline and under the Great Depression, Germany was thriving and presented the Olympic Games. We hear a lot about the Jesse Owens story, where Hitler ignored him because he was black. This was complete bullshit. Complete bullshit. He did not ignore him. He smiled at him, and he was treated a lot better than when Owens went back home and spent the rest of his life, or the rest of his athletic career, racing against horses. Okay, so I'll pick this up on the other side of the break, folks. Look like Dennis is not going to make it tonight, so if I walk 1 hour, I'd couple two. Catch you.
Constantly thinking naughty, hateful thoughts about the Jews? Do you find yourself actually wishing the gas chambers were real? Do you hate the sight of a yarmulke because it reminds you of the parasitic race that has their greedy little hands in just about everything? Well, then we have got something for you. Ask your doctor about Anti-Semitox. Anti-Semitox is a long-acting injectable lobotomy that assures you will never think those anti-Semitic thoughts ever again. May cause suicide, depersonalization, thoughts of ripping off your skin, your dick may fall off, and you may become infertile. I made the switch to Anti-Semitox. Now I don't even care if I'm a goyim slave. Thanks, Jews!
This is Renegade Broadcasting.
And welcome back to the Graham Hart Show, ladies and gentlemen, with your special guest tonight, Graham Hart, because Dennis has failed to show. I'm a little bit concerned because that's not like Dennis at all. We were speaking in the week and everything was fine. I put a message out to him last night and he didn't reply, but I thought, well, that's nothing. Normally he's busy and I wouldn't online very long anyway. So, yeah, that's really weird. I hope he's okay. Okay, where was I? Well, you all know, I'm sure by now, that the Jews were kicked out of 79 countries 109 times and always cry victim, which is what they're doing in Palestine at the moment, and which is why they need Gaza. They need Gaza to shout, to cry victim. And moving on, just one or two more points I got on World War II or things related. The gas vans. I do like the gas vans. These vans that go, they sound a little bit to me like the television vans, you know, that you never see, but they're in the area as the word is spread around. But the gas vans run on diesel. So they would give you nothing more than a headache. And Hitler was a very honorable man as well. Regarding his troops, we know about the rape and the pillaging of, especially the raping of any female from 8 to 80, which is typical Jewish. As with Hitler's troops, any soldier of the Reich caught raping women would be shot. That was the rule. So who's brainwashed here? Christ, can you imagine? Can you imagine if you, I'm speaking to the likes of Kyle, who's 32, half my age, and you find out this stuff. Live the lie for 64 years. Live that lie for 64 years, and my Christ, it hits you so hard. That's why I don't talk about it a lot now. When I go out with my friends, you know, the world's a stage, folks. So wherever you are, I'm on my truth stage tonight and say what I want about the truth. But when I go out with my football friends or other people who are not aware of what's going on, especially the older people, I just leave it go. There's no point. There's absolutely no point. There's some people, I just wouldn't even bother to tell them. There's people older than me, slightly older than me, that, well, actually, slightly, in their 70s, and I wouldn't say a word. I wouldn't say a word to them. There's no point. There's absolutely no point at all. So that's a little bit about Hitler. Also, I would like to read you a couple of his speeches, which are important, because you see this man screaming, you know, when you believe that he's the bad guy, and you see this guy shouting. But what it is true passion, real passion. And what he was saying were not nasty things about us. What he was saying was, this is a quote from his speeches. Are you willing to be plundered? Yes or no? Are you stupid enough to keep quiet in the process? Yes or no? And when a democracy is stupid enough not to stand up, then it is good. But when an authoritarian state declares, you do not plunder our people any longer, neither from the inside or the outside, then that is bad. In reality, money rules these countries. They talk about press freedom when, in fact, all these newspapers have one owner, and the owner, in any case, is the sponsor. This press then shapes public opinion, yeah, just like it does now, and never seems to change. These political parties don't have any differences at all. Like before us, you already know the political parties. They were all the same. Ain't that incredible? I just find that incredible. This is in 1939 that he's saying the things, and they're absolutely relevant to what's going on now. It's just like he could have said this yesterday, or someone else could have said it yesterday, and it would be exactly the same. It's so relevant. Then people must think that, especially in these countries of freedom and wealth, there should exist a very comfortable life for its people. But the opposite is the case. In these so-called democratic countries, the people by no means is the main focus of attention. What really matters is the existence of this group of democracy makers, the Jew. That is, the existence of a few hundred giant capitalists who own all the factories and the shares and who ultimately lead the people. They are not interested in the great mass of people at all. Jews, they are the only ones who can be addressed as international elements because they conduct their business everywhere. Well, Christ, yes, have we found that out? How deep it goes. You can't even go to the corner shop anymore now. They're all franchised. The corner shop is gone. All franchised. And who owns them? And who have always owned everything? It's a small and ruthless international clique that is turning the people against each other and does not want them to have peace. And they can suppress us, they can kill us if they like, but we will not capitulate. These Jews used to laugh about it. They thought it was a joke. They are not laughing anymore. Well, I hope they're not laughing anymore now as well. I hope they're beginning to realize, because I think they're a cowardly bunch of bastards. I think when we really get to them, I think they're just going to fold. I really do. I think they're gutless. They're very clever at evil, but they're gutless. And today they realize the gravity of the situation. Again, I like to think that's the case now. It was a struggle, especially against the people who seem to have omnipotent powers in our nation. I mean, what was it? I think it was 2% of Germany were Jews, but they ran 99% or 97%, was it, of all the industries, everything. And even in 1942, they still held 60% of all the real estate in Germany. It's incredible. It was a struggle, especially against the people who seem to have omnipotent powers in our nation, the struggle against the Jews. A satanic power has taken over the whole country. Well, yeah, now it's the world. Who had been able to grip key positions of our intellectual and spiritual life, but also of the political and economical life, and from these key positions they were able to control and monitor the whole nation. This power had at the same time the influence to persecute within law those who fought against this power, and those who were willing to provide resistance in opposition to the advance of it. The almighty jury thus declared war on us, and look at what we have achieved in these years until 1939. Their envy grew in the same way. The same men who back then got Germany into World War One. The Mr. Churchill started immediately to agitate, then Eden, and then, of course, the Jews with Horbelicia at the forefront. The smear campaign began year after year. They said he is arming himself. Yes, I have always done that. They also asked me that before. Why, then, do you have the SA, and if you want peace? Why do you did you create the SS if you want peace? When, however, the only thing you want is fraternity. Because there are people who do not want it. There are people who do not want Germany to have these things. All I wanted to do was to show them that I was prepared to for the other case. In 1939, the Western powers finally dropped their masks despite all our attempts and all our advances of peace. they sent us their declaration of war. We want nothing but peace. We want nothing but to be left alone. We want nothing but to be able to concentrate on our own duties and responsibilities. And that's it, folks, really, in a nutshell. He didn't want war. He didn't want to fight. He only wanted peace. But we made sure he wasn't going to have that. Our countries. Jesus Christ, don't it make you proud to be American and British and French or wherever you're listening from? Wherever you're from, if you're from the Western, the Allies, if you live in an Allied country, how do you feel about this? So fucked up the ass, it's unbelievable. So, I'm going to turn my attention now, folks, to the Holocaust. When I started out on this journey, finding out about the war, one of the first things that came to mind was the Holocaust, the so-called Holocaust. And I did a lot of research on it and was looking at people who had fought against the system, who called it out for what it is, people like Ernst Sundel, David Cole. These were the first people I come to find out about. And it was just mind-blowing. And then I discovered a great historian, a British historian, who I had the pleasure of meeting, David Irving, an incredible man. This guy goes, speaks fluent German, worked in the steel industry, in a steel factory for 2 years in Germany, so that he could master the language better. So that when he's going and looking at these, reading these pretty almost undecipherable writings, you really needed to know your German well. Where you get most of your historians, you know, they can't read German at all. So, and they just plagiarize anyway. They just copy from other books. But David Irving was one of these guys, or is one of these guys, I should say, still going, still touring, selling his books and giving talks. He used to go to all of the universities and the where all these documents are held, simple words seem to leave me these days, but he went and checked out all of these documents and read them word for word. And that's why I place so much trust in David Irving's work. But when it came to the Holocaust, it seems at the end of the day, and it still is not a question, well, it doesn't seem, it is. The only proof they got is word of mouth. They've got nothing else. Not one document has been shown ever to show that there was a Holocaust. And then it started to look at all the various things that went on there, especially at Auschwitz. And I've had some flack from people who disagree with me, especially I've mentioned it before about one lady who's particularly, she's a nice lady, but she just will not accept the Holocaust because her grandmother died there and she had a tattooed number on her hand or on her wrist. Why would you do that if you're going to gas them? Don't make a lot of sense, do they? Give you a number, then gas you. I thought it would be it just don't add up at all. But they had tattoo numbers, and all they were just a name tag. I mean, you wouldn't give them the numbers if they're going to be immediately gassed. I mean, it's just too stupid for words. And then there's the gas chamber, the door handle on the inside, a glass window, and a 2-inch gap under the door. I don't know. And the door opened inwards as well. I mean, and a 2-inch gap under the door, it's going to be pretty drafty, I would have thought. And then you've got to remove them. If the doors are open inwards, how do you get the dead bodies out? Can somebody tell me? You would have needed thousands of volunteers to carry these bodies out, who themselves would be dying every day from handling them. And a little YouTube video clip that I saw as well, interesting, watching the Westerbork to Auschwitz film, allegedly filmed in 1944. And they looked so healthy, folks. And this is 1944. But they're still going to Auschwitz in 1944, and they look so healthy, it's untrue. So where were they going? I don't think they were going to Auschwitz at all. I think they were going to Palestine under the transfer agreement. And then, of course, you've got the Fred Leuchter and the Leuchter Report. This is in the Ernst Zundel case, where he hired Fred Leuchter. Fred Leuchter was a gas chamber for the death penalty in America. There's the electric chair, and some people wanted to could be gassed to death in a couple of states or a few states. And Fred Leuchter would make them and check them and maintain them, blah, blah, blah. So this guy knew how to gas someone to death. And he went to, after being asked by Ernst Zundel, who was on trial for spreading around a pamphlet called Did 6 Million Really Die? And, of course, that segues out into that you can't speak about the Holocaust in, I believe it's 17 countries in Europe now. Well, there's the red flag right away, folks. If you can't speak about it, you're going to look, aren't you? So there was the Leuchter report that went there. Fred went there, and he took 32 samples. 31 out of the 32 were clean, but the one that was showing high levels of Cyclone B was from the delousing chamber. Now, this is the chamber where they cleaned all the clothes and deloused them from to stop typhus, typhus and other bugs, whatever. They would all their clothes would be in. That's why their hair was shaved. It was to keep them clean, and they were well looked after as well. They sent I think it was the Red Cross sent partners there to check the camps when they were first put into operation. And they were very happy with the way the workers were treated. And again, if you look at those pictures, you will see very healthy inmates. You won't see skinny people. This was all caused by starvation and typhoid right at the end of the war. So the one from the delousing chamber was the only one that showed that Cyclone B was used, and it turns to a blue, which is known as Prussian blue. So all of this caused such an outburst that the chief Auschwitz curator and historian, Franz Pieper, decided to conduct the same tests. And guess what? The results came back exactly the same. The body will turn a rich pink if gassed by Cyclone B, and not one was ever found. Now, this is probably my favorite court line from any trial I've ever heard. This is what the judge said in the Ernst Zundel trial. The truth is no defense. The truth is no defense. Okay. Well, we just lie our way through it then. It's found that the delivery of coke that went to Auschwitz with a total, I think David Irving found these figures in Moscow, actually, if I recall, 2,238 tons of coke were delivered to the camps during the war. Now, if this was used for nothing but gassings, it would have killed no more than around 100,000 maximum, but more like 60,000. Now, this is documented. So, again, where did the 6 billion come from? And reconnaissance photos show no holes in the roof. Photographic evidence of the precise time that this was supposed to be happening. So these were cut in afterwards. The position of the so-called gas chambers, they were opposite where everyone in the camp could see them. So if everyone could see them, no one took a photograph. Actually, I've seen a photograph not recently of someone taking a photograph of a pile of bodies that had allegedly been gassed. You would have thought he would have just spun around and took a look at what was behind him. Because if they've just come out of the gas chamber and you're taking a photograph of that, wouldn't you turn around and take a photograph of the gas chamber itself? Yeah, I would have as well, but apparently this guy didn't. So anyway, there you go. A reconnaissance showed the photographic evidence of the precise time that this was supposed to be happening. They were put in afterwards. I think I cover that later on, actually. But they were put in afterwards and was admitted to by the Polish that the Russians actually were the ones who converted this air raid shelter into a so-called gas chamber. British historian and journalist Tom Bauer wrote that in May 1944, 450,000 Jews were deported from Hungary to Auschwitz to be gassed. Sorry? You're going to deport 450,000 Jews from Hungary to Poland to gas them in May 1944? I think Hitler would have had a little bit more else on his plate rather than to be taking them to let's take them to Auschwitz and gas them. You know, why don't you shoot them into pits like you did on the Eastern Front? I mean, there's no question that Hitler killed many Jews, or the German Reich killed many Jews. They shot them into pits on the Eastern Front, and they had good reason to, because they were being driven out of I believe it's when they went into Hungary. They were being driven out, and they were asked if the Germans' command were asked if they need to take care of these Jews now. And the local the Hungarians said he said there's no need. The Hungarians are taking care of that for us. So they knew what was going down. They knew how evil they were as well. As I said, the cattle trains were taking people to Palestine under the transfer agreement in 1933. And by outbreak of World War II, 150,000 had made their way there from Germany. And, of course, not forgetting the 150,000 that stayed and fought for the Axis, but we won't talk about that. Proof, though, that not all Jews are bad. But I'm looking for a good one at the moment and I can't find any. Why don't these people come out and speak out against them, folks? That's what I don't get. If you know the Jews are doing wrong, why are these Jewish people not coming out and standing out and say, we oppose this? Not these people in America who are saying we don't think there should be a Israel. We shouldn't have our own country. We should be spread all over the world. Don't get fooled by it. They all follow the religion of Judaism, which is so bloody filthy, it's untrue. I just can't believe what I'm looking at, that people follow this stuff. I know there's a lot of bullshit in the Bible, and there's a lot of bullshit in the Quran. There's a lot of bullshit in every religion that we look at. So they were not death camps, folks. They were work camps, the same as any other country. And we don't have one photo of a working gas chamber. Not one. They had their own, in Auschwitz, as we know, they had their own money, swimming pool, theater, performers, including jazz musicians, their own post office, hospitals with maternity wards, artist studio, dentists, library, sauna, religious facilities, a soccer field. Actually, you know all this if you've seen Sinead's film on going to Auschwitz for a holiday. There were birth, marriages, and deaths at Auschwitz. This is documented. They also had a complaints office where used to court-martial misbehaving SS officers. So these people were well looked after, and everything seemed to be, they were treated extremely fairly. But of course, none of this came out in my day. They were fed well and clothed well, as I said, as seen by international visits. Again, there's photographic evidence of that, the 6 million calories. And as I said earlier, by the Poles' own admission, it was reconstructed or faked in 1948 by Stalin, the actual gas chamber. And, oh, Jesus Christ. How stupid can you get? This is... The Auschwitz figures on the plaque, which have been revised from 4 million to 2.5 million, but we're still told 6 million. And we don't get that. Our maths isn't very good, is it? Just taking a quick look at the chat box, ladies and gentlemen. They have the money, and there are many going and willing to take the money to oppose our opposition. Absolutely. They do claim to have documents, but their provenance is questionable. Well, I've yet to see one, George. I've not seen any. None at all. Remove the door. Repeat every hour. I think they only shaved heads on admission. Seen pictures of mothers at Dachau at War's End with full hair. Yeah, yeah, or maybe they were late in. Maybe they were late incomers into the camp. Who knows? Who knows, George? The claim is that the gassings were done in Birkenau, not Auschwitz. Yeah, that's why they've got the gas chamber at Auschwitz. So they'll just come up with any bullshit. Any bullshit they can. Yeah, that does mean that 4 million to 2.5 million, but we're still 6 million. And no one notices. No one notices. It's just, you could put it out there, folks, and those that are asleep, they don't want to know. They're not going to look at it. Simple as that. And then, of course, I had the local councillor for Mebbe and Curnow, the Party for Cornwall. Yeah, sure. And funded by the Jews, no doubt. One of their councillors came out and said that he tweeted 271,301. That's the Red Cross figures for the deaths at all the camps combined. And he was suspended from his party. And the leader of the party said this is wholly repugnant, which I find funny because he's an archaeologist. You think he'd be interested in some sort of historical fact, but obviously not. So the end of the war photos are of typhus and starvation, and the crematorium were built to burn the dead who died from typhus in 1942. There are no records relating to Hitler and gas chambers, nor from anyone. And don't forget, we invented the Enigma computer and could decode all messages from 1942. So if they haven't got records, we've got records. But where are they? There aren't any, are there? And the chimney, folks. Don't you love the chimney? I love the picture of the chimney site during and after. Both not connected to the so-called gas chamber. It's just hilarious. And since 1948, Germany has been paying around 4 billion Deutschmarks per year in reparation for a fake. The Auschwitz show. Millions of students bust across Europe every year. It's huge business. And as David Irving stated, when he stood in front of a half Goy Gentile audience and a half Jewish audience, and someone questioned him, and he said, I would like to know why I wasn't liked. If my people have been kicked out of 99 countries 109 times since 250 AD, I would want to know why. Could it be that you parasite off everyone else? Be right back after this short break, folks. We'll be right back.
70 years of propaganda created a public perception of Adolf Hitler as mythical as anything to be found in a Disneyland theme park. Now, thanks to the internet and Amazon self-publishing, we can finally access taboo information. This offers you opportunity to benefit from the respect of others. There is much satisfaction to be had by putting someone right and proving it. Mike Walsh, Third Reich Spin-Free Truth Books, opens up a world of previously blocked information. Especially recommended is Mike Walsh's Witness to History. Go to Amazon Books or Kindle. Check Mike Walsh Witness to History.
And welcome back, folks, to the last half hour of the Graham Hart Show. Dennis Wise was supposed to be with me, but I don't know what happened, so I just hope everything's okay with him. I'm just running off these notes there on the Holocaust, just to finish them up. The birds do sing at Auschwitz, by the way. But of course they'll tell you they don't when you're there in the winter. And then we got the Jewish Holocaust survivors, now into its third generation. I think there's now 8 million claiming that they are victims. So there you go. Yeah, the Jews don't have copyright on genocide, folks. Far from it, as real history shows. But they are perpetrating it every single time. Show me a conflict where they've not. I don't get it. I can't find one, not one. And what's it based on? I mean, I wonder, as I said earlier, I wonder if they're from this world. It just makes you think, but they are the evil schism that we have to deal with. And it's now or never. I do think we're growing in numbers. I do think we'll get there. Sometimes I have my days, like I'm sure everyone else. You think, you know, this just isn't going to work out, but people are beginning to wake up. I'm seeing people wake up all the time, not in the numbers that I would like to, obviously, but you just feel that what's going on in Europe and what's being put on the news, something's got to give. People are not buying it anymore, folks. They're the new generation. They don't sit down and watch the 6 o'clock news like we were brought up. They're on Facebook and they're on the net and they can find real information, and they know this is bullshit that they're being told. A lot of them don't, of course, either. They still buy into it. But once they find just one little thing, I fancy, it can turn them. It's finding that key that's going to unlock them. With me, it was the war. As soon as I seen the war, that just blew it wide open. And learning about Palestine as well was a huge learning curve for me. And what those people are going through out there is just incredible. I cannot take this white genocide as my cutting edge. As I said, I support it 100%, but to me, it's world peace and what's going. These are people, and we are all one consciousness. One lady, I think, it was, if I remember from the comments, said, we're not one consciousness. We are all different. Yeah, we are. We're different colors, creeds, but we're all one consciousness. As I said, go and watch the film My Stroke of Insight by Jill Bolte Taylor, and you'll understand where I'm coming from. But who are these bloody people? How do they think of us? Well, we know, I know I'm preaching to the converted here, but another thing that was a big surprise to me was to find out about Judaism and what it said in the Talmud. Gentile, non-Jew. Goy or Goyim. Cattle, non-Jews. That's what we are. And they don't give a fuck. They don't care. If they kill an ass, it's like standing on a spider. It means nothing to them. And the things they write in the Talmud. If a Jew finds an object lost by a Goy, it does not have to be returned. Nice. If a Jew murders a Goy, there will be no death penalty. When a Jew steals from a Goy, he may keep it, whatever it is. If a Goy hits a Jew, he must be killed. All children of the Goyim are animals. Holy crap. If you eat with a Goy, it is the same as eating with a dog. I won't quote the authors of this. I'll just read them out. The Gentiles are not human. They are beasts. Well, it seems to be, because that's the way they treat us. You can see it every day. Even the best of the Goyim should be killed. Do not save Goyim in danger of death. Show no mercy to the Goyim. Sexual intercourse between the Goyim is like intercourse with animals. Holy fuck. I don't think so. Not that I have any personal knowledge. When the Messiah comes, every Jew will have 2,800 slaves. Yeah, it's a bit like the Muslims with their, I don't know how many virgins. Fuck, one's enough. Extermination of the Christians is a necessary sacrifice. Well, that in itself tells you where we stand with these people, don't it? I mean, if that's the way it is, I've had discussions with Dennis off air actually about being Christian, because Churchill declared that if Hitler won the war, it would be the end of Christian life as we know it. And yet, what people fail to notice is that every country that was a member of the Axis with Germany, they were all Christian countries. Every one of them. It's funny now to look at it, but it wasn't funny at the time. Sorry, a quick look at my chat box here. Yeah, I'll talk about that, George. Send me it. Oh, you got a link there. Good, brother. I'll have a look. C.W. Porter's site. Okay, we'll have a look, my friend. Jehovah created the non-Jew in human form so that the Jew would not be served by beasts. Can you believe this, folks? This is what they're writing about us. And we mustn't say nothing against them. I mean, it's just unreal. It's unreal. The non-Jew is consequently an animal in human form and condemned to serve the Jew day and night. I don't think so, brother. Not any longer. Or not for much longer, I would hope, anyway. A Jew is forbidden to drink wine from a glass of wine which a Gentile has touched, because the touch has made the wine unclean. To communicate anything to a Goy about our religious relations would be equal to killing of all Jews. For if the Goyim knew what we teach about them, they would kill us openly. Oh, you're fucking right, we would. Yeah, when's that day coming? The sooner we get people to know, the better. Can you believe that? A Jew may do to a non-Jewish, a non-Jewess, what he can do. He may treat her as he treats a piece of meat. A Jew may violate but not marry a non-Jewish girl. Now, but you can convert to Judaism. If you convert to Judaism, then that's okay. To marry a Jewish lady or man. A prayer or benediction to be said by a Jewish man every day. Thank you, God, for not making me a Gentile, a woman, or a slave. Jesus Christ. A Jew should and must make a false oath when the Goyim asks if our books contain anything against them. Really honest people, aren't they? A Jew should and must make a false oath when the Goyim asks if our books contain anything against them. Our Joseph said, come in here, a maiden aged 3 years and a day may be acquired in marriage, and if her deceased husband's brother cohabits with her, she becomes his. A girl who is 3 years of age, one day may be betrothed by cohabitation. Jesus Christ, three. And people don't know who these people are. Why us? Why us? It is taught R. Simeon, a prophesite who is under the age of 3 years and one day is permitted to marry a priest, for it is said, but all the woman children that have not known man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves. Jeez, I just struggle even to read back over these notes that I've put together. Excuse me, I just can't believe that people don't know of this, or we've not known of it until now. And like I said, folks, I'm probably preaching to the converted, but maybe one person out there is listening who've never heard any of this before. It was taught R. Simeon B. Yohai stated, a proselyte who is under the age of 3 years and is one may, oh, I've done that one for marry a priest. Sorry. And that goes back the film of oh God, yeah, the film Kosher Meat. And again, the circumcision, Jesus Christ. You strap a kid down and tear it off with your fingers. You put the baby's penis in your mouth and suck the blood. And the occasional sacrifice of a child is okay, according to one man I've seen in a documentary. That's okay, especially at Passover. These people have no understanding of empathy, love, compassion for the fellow man, or anything else, period. The trouble is, the critical mass of loving people required cannot understand that such people exist. They don't. That seems to be our big problem. We cannot accept that such evil people are on this planet and would do such things, and yet they do. And if the Gentiles could understand that, this would be over quick. And I've also been interested in the Christmas and Hanukkah. People just don't put it together. I never put it together before. Until I knew about this, I never put none of it together that they don't celebrate Christmas. It's Hanukkah. I didn't know nothing about it. I think the first thing I got idea about Hanukkah was watching Friends. Excuse me, quick mute and clear my throat. They have no understanding of empathy for their fellow man. Well, yeah, I said that. And I do see a Jew fest coming. It's growing. I can see it in Facebook. But it started, but how long is it going to take? As I say, we keep growing in numbers, but we'd like to see it grow a lot faster. And that's why I think people like, as I said, there are people who fight that cause on whatever your main cause is. Mine has been world peace. Mine has been an understanding of World War II, World War I, understanding the Middle East, the Khazars, where the Jews come from. When you come at it from that angle and where you live where I live, that seems to be, to me, to be the most important thing of all, is to go after the Jew. Because whether you're coming from my position, whether you're coming from the perspective of Sean or Sinead or from where you, the listener, live, wherever we come from, we're all coming at it from our own perspective. And we've got to take on board, we're going to fight what we know most about. And for me, it was knowing that everything is down to the Jew. So whatever our differences, I have total respect for all people who are in this fight. It doesn't matter what your cutting edge is. For me, so long as you're fighting against the Jew, then the rest of it is, to me, is irrelevant now. I can see the problem as Israel is the big problem for me, because that is the center. They run America, they run the UK, they run the planet. Everything comes out of Israel. 9/11, we know, is a Mossad inside job. People don't even grab the 9/11, folks. I mean, it's just two planes, three buildings. I mean, how simple is that? Pretty scary stuff. Yeah, and then there's Japan. I got reservations about the atomic bombs, because we're hearing that Nagasaki and Hiroshima were at the atom bomb dropped on them, and yet there's plants growing and all within a month or so after that. There's actually plant life. So I think it was carpet bombed. And those were just the last two cities. They were the 27th and 28th major cities that were bombed. So they weren't bombed any different. And it seems all the rest is bullshit, according to some kids. And I sort of trust kids because they got a clear eye. But they're looking at this. I've seen them. I've just took a brief look at whether there is the atom bomb or the nuclear bomb. And the kids are laughing at these pictures, you know, and you can understand why. If you've got a camera shooting film of a nuclear bomb being dropped, why is the camera still there? Why is everything supposed to be blown to smithereens, yet the camera is okay? And they got pictures outside of people inside a glass window. So, I don't know. I've been speaking with Dennis about this as well, and we were saying, you know, well, maybe they didn't have it then, but they've got it now. Perhaps that's the case. I do believe there is some sort of nuclear weapon. I was listening to John Pilger, who's the only mainstream journalist I've ever had any respect for. He was talking about the Marshall Islands, where they'd done a lot of nuclear testing back in the, I think it was between 52 and 58. They did a lot of nuclear testing, and his shoes registered as unsafe on the counter. So, yeah, maybe there is. Maybe there is now. But I wonder back to Hiroshima and Nagasaki whether there actually was a nuclear bomb in those days. I don't know. I just get a feeling there wasn't. I don't claim to know a lot about it, but it is fascinating to see these kids talk about how they think. They laugh at it, folks. They absolutely laugh at it. If you go and check out some documentaries on or little short clips by these kids on Nagasaki, Hiroshima, they laugh at it because they say this is too stupid for words. The way people are getting out of trenches and moving towards it, and It don't really add up, but yet I do believe they would have these sort of weapons these days, because they got some pretty effective toys. We know that for sure. Look at the weather. How's your summer, folks? Ours is gone. It's raining. It's cold. The heating's on, and it's the 1st of August. So, and I see the chemtrails every day. They pour across the sky. I got a beautiful blue sunny day, always in the mornings. And then they spray, and then it's overcast. So people don't want to see it. Blows my mind. And it frightens me as well that people are so, so eyes wide shut. Well, I'm really sorry, folks, about this ramble. There's not a pile I can do about it. I will try and get Dennis on next week if he's available. Like I said, it's highly unlike Dennis to not turn up. In fact, I've never known him do anything before, and you can tell it's the first time it's happened to me. Just to round up here, I do want to read, or should I? Is that going to be too much to do here? Oh, yeah, I do love these quotes. Dennis believes in Christian culture, because I've had discussions after listening with Charles, and I believe Dennis is a very sort of Christian guy. And we sort of narrowed it down and said, well, look, what we're looking at here is a Christian culture, which to me is inherent. If, you know, if you've got compassion and you've got love in you, that's inherent. That you're born into that. And I especially the kids that I see today, these so-called indigo children, is it real or is it just because my grandson, for instance, is coming up three and he's had no injections. He's the happiest kid I've ever seen. And on the opposite of that, the people I pass walking, when I go out for a walk, and people pass me, my wife and I often comment about it, how they got their heads down and they're so miserable they can't even say hello. They don't want to lift their heads. People are so miserable. They really are. But the kids, these kids now, if they're avoiding vaccinations, especially my grandson has not been vaccinated, and he is the happiest child I've ever seen. So, to learn who rules over you, simply find out who you're not allowed to criticize. And we know who it is. I got no problem saying Jew. I got no problem saying Jew. I got no problem with it at all. You filthy fucking bastards. You've got to go. And you do have to go. And the sooner the better. I can't stand, you know, sometimes I think, you know, the sooner I'm off this planet, the better. There's nothing more than a shithole. And on the other hand, you can see how beautiful it is, and what we're allowing these people to do by putting our heads in the sand. And that's what we need to do. If we can wake up just one person or send, it's no good going, I've tried it. If you go and try and tell people full stories, they're not going to buy it. They just need to be coaxed into it. Just drop a few words if you get the chance and just let them find out. Then they'll come back and tell you that, hey, you know, have you seen what I found out? So that's been the way I did it. I said to earlier that I don't speak to my older friends about it, but I did to one. I mentioned about the Irish Holocaust, where 5.2 million were starved to death. And obviously that's how they lost their language. And it's the same as what happened in Cornwall. That's how we lost our language as well. I'm quite proud of the fact that I found that myself, because no one else is saying it. I'm the only one who's saying that, because it's been put to Cornish historians and they just shut up. They don't want to know. Well, they're on the payroll, aren't they? Yes, I was saying of a Christian culture, but not of the Bible. Excuse me, as Charles so rightly points out on a very regular basis. My favorite one, excuse me. Quick mute. My favorite one was Matthew 5:39. But I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Yeah, okay. Don't seem that clever. It's a bit like saying love your enemy. I don't see a lot of good in that. But the opposite to that, this is what Jesus said. Do not resist one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. But in Luke 19:27, it says, but as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. What the fuck's that all about? What on earth is that all about? And then I found a couple of quotes only a couple of days ago that come out of the Quran. I will instill terror into the hearts of the unbelievers. Smite ye above their necks and smite all at their fingertips. And the Quran 47:4. Therefore, when you meet the unbelievers, strike off their heads. So these are the religious books, folks. What a fucking con, eh? What a lifetime con. It is beyond belief. and all set up by the Jews. The fucking filth that they are. And I think I'm just about there. I could read to you quickly the how they set this up, but that would probably be going to the four Vatican trusts, which I found very interesting. How the Jews set this whole thing up. The Unum Sanctum Trust was created by Pope Boniface the Eighth in 1302, claiming control of the earth. Three more express trusts were created over the next 229 years. The Pontifex Romanus Trust, created by Pope Nicholas V in 1455, claimed the rights of all property on the planet. So that's where they claim that they own the land. How can you own the land? That's another thing I've struggled with as well. How can you actually own the land? I think the land owns us. We've got nowhere else to go. So I cannot see how we can own land. The land owns us, folks. That was then followed by the Eternus Regis Trust, which claimed the right of all private property in 1481. And the last was called the Convocation Trust, which claimed the ownership of everybody's soul in 1531. Interesting that they claim your soul in 1531. Not that long ago. Not that long ago. And we've all been baptized into the Catholic Church via the birth certificate. It's a ritual. The ritual they perform in hospitals, and the hospitals are military facilities. You are born into a ward. You are, in their eyes, a ward of state. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And as I said, to find out all this stuff at my age over the last 5 years has been quite incredible. I wish I never found out sometimes, folks. I really do. I wish I didn't know none of this. Life would be a lot easier. But on the other hand, I know that's the case. So we fight on. Thank you for sticking around. I'm sorry, my guest.
Host of The Solar Storm, a radio show with lots of interesting guests, unique analysis, important topics, and essential inspiration. You will learn how our world got to this sorry state and how we can work together to fix it, starting down the road to a better future for us and future generations. I know it can seem hopeless sometimes, but the sleeping giant has awoken. Now things are getting interesting. Tune in every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on Renegade Broadcasting.